Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Welcome to the program. I trust it's going to be a blessing today. According to the things that are happening around the world, I have had many requests to share with you about end-time Bible prophecy. My dear friend, I will say this. We are at the door. I don't know exactly how close, but we're very close to the door, according to the Word of God. In my years of study of end-time Bible prophecy, the prophetic books. In fact, I wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation, verse by verse, for my doctoral thesis. And at that time, I never realized that I would be living to see these things come to pass. But dear friend, I want to share with you some of the things that I've gleaned through my years of study on Bible prophecy. If you will turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse number 3, as we begin this, we see God's salvation comes to us at the blink of an eye, so instantly. Salvation is extended to whosoever will. Now, you see, when you hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it pricks your heart through the seasoning of the Holy Spirit, you realize that you are lost and undone. That is the time that you need to do business with God. Get on your knees and ask Him to come into your heart if you're not saved. But as we share with you, we see, let no man deceive you by any means. May I go on record as saying there is a lot of deception today concerning Bible prophecy. There are a lot of false teachings that are going around. And I want to declare to you the things that I have gleaned in my studies. And I take the position of pre-tribulation, if you please. And as these programs progress, I will introduce you to what I understand to believe this is God's program for the hour. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now remember, a falling away first. I've never seen anyone fall up a tree. You must be in the tree to fall out. So that is speaking, I'm thinking primarily to the church per se. It says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, Satan. Well, he's very much alive and well on planet Earth today. He's working day and night. He is doing everything he can to enslave humanity under his control. And as we look at that, this falling away refers to the departure of known truth from God. We are experiencing that not only in this world, but particularly in Christian America. Our Bibles are being taken out of the schoolhouses, the places of education. Out of the courthouse, we don't have the Ten Commandments any longer. We're pushing God out of our society. That's an indicator that something big is just about to happen. Talked about that great falling away. You see, leaving the known truth about God. They say that, well, there are many gods you can worship. Some even say there is no God. But my question is, if there's no God, how did all this get here? Well, I've studied that too. And friend, that position does not make sense at all. Because what they're saying is, out of absolutely nothing came something. This universe had to have an origin of beginning. There had to be a cause. All the things that we see, we send men up into the space to explore all of space, and they say, well, we've seen this heaven, these heavens, and there's things beyond these heavens. Well, we live in the atmosphere, and then there's the stratosphere, ionosphere. Man has not gotten there yet, But they already saying that there are three dimensions, the three dimensions. We're living in the first one. We've been to the second one by space ships. But now I want to tell you, for the third one, you've got to have a plane air ride ticket. No other way but by the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary for your sins and for my sins. That great following way of known truth about Jesus Christ, the Christian life, and the Word of God. Now, we talk about the Antichrist. Let me say that he is identified as the man of sin. The Antichrist is the product of the man of sin. You see, sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were made perfect. They were in a perfect environment. There was absolutely nothing that was wrong in their environment, their world. But you see, there was a tempter that entered in. And he tempted Eve. And she ate of the forbidden fruit. And when she ate, her sin nature was revealed in Adam in order for her to ever be reconciled, willingly took of the fruit so that he could identify with his wife Eve. You see, because it was going to be through the bloodline that there would be a Savior, there would be a cross, there would be a hope, there would be a home. And that home, my dear friend, today is heaven for the believer. Let not your hearts be troubled, the Bible says. And the Christians that are living in the time of this end, the church ages, we have troubled minds. I meet people all the time that are so concerned. They ask me a question, Brother Melvin, what do you think about this that's happening? And I try to comfort their hearts. But you see, if you know the author of the book, the Holy Spirit living within you as a born-again believer, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'll address that in just a little bit more in detail. But as we look at all of this, the church is composed of the believing Jews and Gentiles beginning at Acts chapter 2. And it will continue until the day of the rapture. Now, when we talk about the rapture, the non-believer does not understand this, but this is an event that I will address more in detail at later studies. But it's simply, rapture means being caught up, being caught up. Man was not created to live here on earth permanently. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. You see, we will stand before God in judgment. The born-again believer will stand at the bema seat judgment of rewards. The Christian will be rewarded according to his stewardship, the way he lived as a Christian, the way he conducted himself as a Christian, his testimony, his walk as a Christian. But the non-believer will stand at the great white throne judgment of God. At the end of that judgment, he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Which judgment seat will you stand before? There will be a judge sitting on the seat. Which one will you appear at, my dear friend? That's a serious thing to consider today. Oh, listen, I want to say that Messiah, Jesus Christ, could come just any minute. All the things that are building up right now, the election that's coming on, and I will go into that more in detail in our next telecast. The election that's happening right now, the way this election in America goes will determine how close we are to the rapture. Oh, listen, there are no preconceived warnings to when the Christian should watch and look for them. Only we are to look up, for our redemption draws near. Every day we live, it's a little bit nearer than it was the day before. Now, many people have set dates for the Lord's return. I remember 88 reasons why the Lord would come in 88. Did not happen. I have studied, and there's been others that have prophesied to be proven they are a false prophet. You see, God's prophecies come true. If one makes a prophetic utterance and it does not happen, he is a false prophet. Now, I will say that the Messiah will come back. Jesus Christ will come back, but he's coming back in the middle of the tribulation, or at the end. We'd know exactly when he's going to come. I mean, because you know when the tribulation starts, and we are at the door, and we believe that he's coming at the middle of it, we say, well, after the tribulation, 7 years, we know what 3.5 years Jesus Christ is coming. But if we were post-trib and believed that he was coming after the tribulation, we know 7 years from down the road that Jesus Christ is coming then. But you see, no man knows the day nor the hour. Now, I'm not knocking these people who teach these other thoughts, but I just want to stay with God. I just want to stay with the Word. Let me say one more time, the rapture will come. Share a scripture with you in Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour when your Lord come. But in verse 44 of the same chapter, therefore be ye ready, be prepared, have your sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, be a born again Christian. But not only that, but you see, be ready. We need to not only be born again and be a ready Christian, but we need to be walking and talking the walk and talk of a Christian life. We need to be examples today. We need to let others know that there is a difference. You see, if we are to partake of the world, then they're going to say, well, we're just as good as they are. Rightfully so. But you see, a Christian is a separated person. It says, for in the such hours you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Some people tell me, well, Brother Melvin, I just know he's coming, but I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime. Oh, well, every generation from the cross has always looked for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has not happened. But you see, all the signs, all the things that are mentioned in God's Word had not happened until now. And they are happening now, my dear friends. So we know that we are at the door. Great theologians, far more studied in the Word of God than I am, are declaring that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. Dr. Jack Van Impe, oh, that great man of God, has studied Bible prophecy in depth. In fact, I graduated, got my doctor's degree at the same Bible college that he got his doctorate from. Listen, that man of God is declaring that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Others, great men of God, Charles Stanley, and all these greats are saying, be prepared, be ready, because he is coming again. Let me, this little preacher, tell you, be prepared. Be ready, because he is coming again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, not dwelling places, mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Is he preparing a place for you today? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, let me say one more time, it's a good day to be a Christian. But let me say this, all born again believers will meet Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in the air. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 18, we find these words. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have already outstripped us, already gone on ahead of us, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You see, those who do not know Jesus Christ do not have a hope. And they don't know whether they're going to see their loved ones. They don't even know probably whether their loved ones are waiting on them on the other side or not. That's sad. That's a sad condition. He says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Oh, let me tell you, that's going to be a great, wonderful time, a great experience. One songwriter said it this way, great getting up morning. Fare you well, fare you well. Oh, listen. With the voice of the archangel, can you imagine Gabriel? He's the messenger angel. As he begins to blow the trumpet declaring the rapture and the time of the Lord Jesus Christ coming for the saints. It says, with the trump of God, the trumpets are going to sound. Oh, I love to hear the trumpet played. I have a grandson that's a great trumpeter. I love to hear a trumpet sound. But it was nothing to compare to that trumpet that's going to sound when Jesus Christ comes for his church. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've got a precious wife already over there. I've got a mother. I've got a father over there. I've got a brother already over there. I've got many friends. I've got other family members. All through the years, I've followed families to the grave. And I've shared with them in the hour of grief and mourning, and I've tried to comfort their hearts and try to wipe the tears away. I could not do it. I tried. But the broken hearts came on anyway. But can you imagine the time when the dead in Christ, those born again believers, will come out of that grave? I don't know where I will be if I'm still alive and remain. It sure would be wonderful if I was over there at the cemetery outside of Newnan, Georgia, when Dot came up, my first wife Dot came up out of the grave. I would love to go up with her. I'm remarried to a preacher's widow, great, wonderful Christian lady. God put us together to continue on in the ministry. Her husband, who was a precious dear friend of mine, had already gone on 2 years before Dot did. They're both buried in the same cemetery just over the hill from each other. I don't know whether Mildred will be beside Cloris and I be beside Dot to go up together. But I do know this one thing, that Dot and Cloris will come up out of that grave, and Mildred and I, we're alive and we'll be changed in a moment in the twinkle of an eye. We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen. Then which we alive and remain shall be caught together and meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18 says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort. That's a comforting thought. In future programs, I'm going to be dealing in detail with the situation, the circumstances that are happening here in America. What's happening in the Middle East, they are all in the book. I will go on record as saying the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel started being fulfilled about almost a year ago when Russia made her move. I'll be speaking on that in a future message. But the battle of Magog, Gog and Magog is already being fought in the Middle East. That's the prelude leading up to the rapture of the church. The church goes out before the war breaks out in its fury, the final analysis. I will deal with the 7 years of tribulation, the first 3.5 years of tribulation, the false millennium, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, the terrible things, the atrocities, the things that are going to take place on earth, God's judgment falling from heaven on earth. You might say, well, Brother Melvin, you're scaring me. If you're a Christian, you're going to be removed from that and you're not going to go through it. But if you're not a Christian, then listen to me very carefully. If you're not saved right now, would you get on your knees and simply say, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart, birth me into your family, and make me a citizen of a new world. If you do that, you will never be disappointed. Until this same time for our next broadcast, this is Dr. Melvin Payne saying goodbye, God bless you, and go with God.